Amid its own Me Too movement, the federal judiciary is readying for changes. Bloomberg's June Grasso has more. June?
Thank you, Peter. It's Chief Justice John Roberts' 13th year-end report on the state of the federal judiciary. And it may be the report that gets more attention than any other because it raises issues that have been sweeping the country with the Me Too movement. The report is largely devoted to the federal judiciary's response to this year's natural disasters, but the chief also highlights the depth of the problem of sexual harassment in the workplace across the country, shining a spotlight on a special problem for the judiciary where law clerks work closely and in confidence with powerful judges. Joining me is Deborah Katz, founding partner of Katz, Marshall, and Banks. Deborah, Robert said events in the past few weeks have made clear that the judicial branch is not immune from the problem of sexual harassment. He didn't mention prominent Judge Alex Kaczynski of the Ninth Circuit by name, but he was undoubtedly referring to him. Tell us what happened with Judge Kaczynski.
Sure. Well, on December 8th, the Washington Post ran a bombshell of a report reporting on the fact that a number of former clerks of Judge Kaczynski had accused him of sexual misconduct. And there was a range of behavior that was reported by these former judges that ran the gamut from subjecting them to inappropriate, bizarre sexualized comments, to pornography, and essentially creating an environment where they did not feel able to complain because there was no mechanism to complain, but that they felt completely demeaned by the experience. And the judge responded in a way that was extremely dismissive and said, essentially, if this is the worst I've done in 35 years, I can live with that. That led to the Washington Post on December 15th reporting that 9 more women had come forward. And these women had also described bizarre, inappropriate comments, but also said that the judge had subjected at least 4 of them to touching or kissing, clear sexual harassment. And at that point, it was clear that a floodgate had been opened and the judiciary had to respond. Ultimately, the judge was forced to submit his resignation before an investigation was undertaken. So he announced his retirement on December 18th.
Let's discuss the complexity of the problem with law clerks, because an appeals court judge will usually have 4 clerks, and there is a strict code of confidentiality they work under. There's also the fact that the judge is very influential in their future careers many times. What are the special pressures and conflicts a clerk faces who's harassed?
Well, you've named it for a few. Getting a federal judicial clerkship is a real plump for any person graduating from law school, and it is a significant stepping stone for advancement in the legal profession. People are very reliant on judges to get recommendations to either advance to higher-level clerkships, in Kaczynski's case, to the U.S. Supreme Court, which is the very top of the profession, or to other positions at firms and elsewhere. And it really is the first significant lawyering job that someone has out of law school. So the clerk is completely reliant on the judge for connections and recommendations, and few people want to burn that bridge. The other problem is that, as you've described, federal judges have 4 clerks, and you are very isolated in the judge's chambers. You don't discuss your work with other clerks or with other judges. So there really isn't a mechanism to go tell your coworkers, this is what's happening in my chambers. And what the clerks have done is they sent a letter that I think at this point has well over 700 signatures, describing needed reforms within the court system to make clear that the condition of confidentiality does not apply to keeping keeping clerks muzzled when they're being subjected to sexual harassment. So that was a very significant first step that the judiciary did, which is it amended the law clerk handbook to provide clarity that harassment is not one of those conditions that is to be kept confidential.
Roberts said he's already asked the director of the Administrative Office of U.S. Courts to assemble a working group to consider whether changes are needed in the judiciary's code of conduct, et cetera. Is that enough? Will that do it?
Well, that's an important first step, because, and that was one of the reforms that the clerks who signed on to that letter asked for. The code provides ethical canons for all judicial employees, including judges, and it's very clear that there is a paucity of direction in this code that makes clear that judicial employees can report these things and sets out a mechanism to handle harassment should it be encountered in the workplace. Unlike members in the private sector or even in federal executive agencies, there's no recourse if you're sexually harassed and you're clerking for a federal judge. There isn't. Title VII does not cover you in the workplace. And there aren't clear reporting lines like going to the EEOC. So revising the code of conduct for judicial employees is really crucial.
Only about 45 seconds here. I just wanted to get your opinion, Deborah, about there's been a lot of reporting about things that happened, sexual inappropriate activity from, let's say, 20 years ago, where the statute of limitations has run. And there was an October 16th article about account of a woman who said Justice Clarence Thomas had touched her inappropriately in 1999.
Yes.
What about this going back so far?
Well, people are coming forward with these allegations because they are of important public concern. This is a moment where women are finally being believed about these allegations. And they're not coming forward seeking money. They're not asserting legal claims. They're essentially saying that people who hold the public trust need to be held accountable. And that's what happened in Kaczynski's case. He's paid for this with, you know, the ultimate
I've got to stop you there. We have to so much to talk about this, but thank you. That's Deborah Katz, founding partner at Katz, Marshall & Banks. I should mention that Justice Thomas denied those allegations. Coming up on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, diplomatic talks between North and South Korea.